directed by him, led by him. I yield my body to him to speak through me and say what you want said here in this service today. And I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word and a heart to receive the word heard. And Father, we will be so careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, third chapter of the book of Philippians. Third chapter of the book of Philippians. Now, I want you to release your faith and expect God to speak into your life, all right? Amen?
Amen?
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, I want you to drop down to verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Everybody say, "Forgetting those things which are behind." Hallelujah. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Amen. Say, "Reaching forward to those things which are ahead."
Reaching forward to those things which are ahead.
Amen. Verse 14. It says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Now, my message to you last Sunday, I believe, my subject rather, last Sunday, I believe, was living God's way. Well, again, it's living God's way, but I'll add on to that sanctification. Sanctification. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. And so we want to talk about sanctification a little bit because it's important to the child of God. Well, you might say, "Pastor, I don't hear much about that." Well, that's sad. That is sad, but you're getting ready to hear about it today.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, to be sanctified is to be set apart. To be set apart for God's service. But to be set apart for God. To be set apart for God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, I think I got this right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen what the Word of God says. "Finally then, brethren, we urge you," he's talking to the believers, "and exalt you in the Lord Jesus, that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to do what?" And to do what? Hallelujah. And all you could say it this way, live God's way. "For you know what commandment we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Amen. Why would the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, be talking to the church this way? Don't fool yourself. If we get careless, we'll mess up. If we get careless, we'll mess up. Even you're saved, you can be saved, you can still mess up. If not, well then why do we see it in the Word of God? This here is not talking to folks that's not born again. What they need to do is get born again. They need to get their lives right with God. They need to get Jesus. This is talking to us, the believers. Don't fall back into your old way of living. Do you know the flesh is a mess? The flesh is a mess. But it says in verse 3 again, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. For, this is verse 4, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, how? In sanctification and honor. In sanctification and honor. In other words, we tell this vessel, you're not going to do what you want to do. You're not going to do what you want to do. You're not going to live any way you want to live. Because we're living in a time now where people are so sensitive to offense. Well, you know, I don't want to say this and I don't want to say that because, I got some church members and I'm blah, 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 blah. And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm just talking about in general. Everybody say in general.
In general.
Say again.
In general.
Amen. So don't be sitting there thinking, wonder who he talking about in here. I'm not talking about anybody specifically in here. Now, see, all I do is preach the Word of God. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is to preach the Word of God. But it's the Holy Ghost. If you happen to be one that's guilty, it's the Holy Ghost that will come and tap you on your shoulder and say, listen. When God called me to preach, one thing he didn't tell me, I had to find this out on my own. He didn't tell me folk would get mad at you for preaching the gospel, preaching what he said. He said it. But folk would get mad with you. And that's the reason some, everybody say some, not all. That's the reason some won't preach it. The church is small and the people poor. And we got to get the church paid off and we got to keep the lights on. Nah, that ain't where it works. If you have to preach it in the dark, you preach it anyway. Hallelujah. Glory to God. those of us that are born again, we're to live a sanctified life. Now, let me move on. I want to talk about sanctification a little bit. First thing I want to say is sanctification comes, stay with me on this, sanctification comes when you're born again. Now, don't get lost in what I'm saying here. We still have a part to play. But none of us could save ourselves. Right? None of us could save ourselves. None of us could bring life into our spirits by ourselves. Well, let's go back to the Word of God, all right? Praise God. But sanctification, first of all, comes through the new birth. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 12. Hebrews 13:12. Hallelujah. Y'all there yet? All righty. All right, we have it on the screen. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, how? How? Suffered outside the gate. You know, under the old covenant, you know, they would lay the sins on animals, and then they would send them out into the wilderness. And that I'm not going to go into all that now, but that's a type and shadow of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point I want you to see right now is the Word of God says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. I am washed in the blood. How about you? I have been sanctified by the blood. How about you? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. All right. Now, let's go backwards to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. How? Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So when we are born again, we're sanctified in that God sets us apart. In other words, we were walking in darkness. We were living in darkness. And God separated us from the darkness and place us into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. We were set apart, separated. Hallelujah. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, and when I say man, that includes male and female, but if any man in Christ, he is a what? He's a what? He's a new creature. Old things, what? Passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're sanctified. I am not the old James that I used to be. I still live in the same house. I'm not talking about the wood house or brick house or anything like that. I'm talking about the body. I still live in the same house, but the spirit man has been recreated. The old things have passed away. Amen. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart. Now, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to sanctify us, to get us saved. Now, once we are saved, now it's time for us to take over and take care of some things. Now it's time for us to sanctify ourselves. If I'm not of the world, then I should not be acting like the world. I shouldn't be living like the world. I shouldn't be talking like the world. I shouldn't be cussing and swearing like the world. Anybody in here wish I'd go on to a different subject? Bless the name of the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. How does this sanctification begin? Now, I'm going there, but I remember as a teenager when I got saved, there's some things I already knew were wrong because I had a mother that taught my sister too, and we didn't always do what she said, but we never forgot what she said. And so I remember after I got saved, I began to think, now I'm doing some things that I need to stop because I'm saved now. And, you know, I used to, y'all probably don't believe this, but I used to go clubbing with a friend of mine. I never had an alcohol problem, thank God. Never drank. But I did used to love to, I didn't have an automobile of my own, so I had to ride with somebody else. And so he and I would go to different clubs, especially on the weekends, and we would look at the pretty girls. Yeah. And we would talk about how pretty they are and how we would like to meet them, and you know, I'll leave that right there because see, my daughter looking, frowning on her face. I ain't always been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I do thank God I didn't have opportunity to get into a whole lot. Amen. But it's the truth. We used to go and we used to look at the girls, and you know, when you the girls dress for the club, you know what I mean? They dress for the club. And so we would go and we would try to meet some, wasn't very successful. Now I was disappointed back then, but now I look back on it and say, thank God. Thank God. One problem I had is I was just plain too shy. I wasn't outgoing. But anyway, y'all didn't come here to hear that. My point is, though, when I got saved, I knew I had to stop clubbing. One Saturday evening, but I didn't know how to tell my friend, though. I didn't want to hurt his feeling because he was kind of like me. Neither one of us had anybody. So we were just friends, and matter of fact, he was my cousin. We were friends, and he had a car, I didn't. We'd ride out, and like I said, look, now I'm thinking, oh, poor thing, he's going to have to ride by himself now because I'm saved. He came to the house, and don't ever do what I did. And I don't know why my mother did what she did. But I told Mama, I said, Mama, tell him I'm not home. Because I didn't know how to deal with the situation. I knew I was saved and I was not going. And I there's a little more to that story. Actually, let me back up. I'm a little ahead of myself. Actually, I did go back to the club a time or two, but I was under such conviction. So finally, I told Mama, I said, tell him I'm not home. I don't know why she listened to me. She went to the door and told him I wasn't home. I guess she repented after she said that. But she told him I wasn't home. But let me share something with you. I believe this will help you, help somebody. I've shared this, and then we're going to move on. But after I got saved, I did go back to the club a couple of times, but I was under conviction the whole time. And I remember right down here in the great city of Chiraw, South Carolina, on, what is that, Kershaw Street, where Sonny's, yeah. Okay, y'all know where Sonny's Grill is. Mm-hmm. I'll ask no more questions, but anyway, right there at Sonny's Grill, and the road is pretty wide there, so the building was small, everybody couldn't get inside, so everybody, we just stand out in the street, cars could barely get by, just folk out in the street. And I remember standing out in the street, couldn't get inside the building. I was under conviction so strong, I remember looking up to heaven. And I did. I right out there in the middle of that crowd. Drunks, I mean, you name it. I mean, it's a mess. I looked up to heaven. I said, Lord, when I leave here tonight, I promise you, I'll never come back. See, can I help y'all with something else while I'm on that subject? That's the reason some folk can't get delivered. Because they won't make a decision. They don't give God nothing to work with. Don't the Bible say a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways? When I made that decision, Lord, I'm not coming back here anymore. God gave me the power that I needed not to come back. I wasn't tempted to go back. You hear me? Amen. I wasn't tempted to go back. I didn't sit around the house on the weekends and say, man, I wish I was at Sonny's Grill. Man, I wish I was. I know there's some pretty women down there at Sonny's Grill tonight. I just wish I was down. No, not for a half second. Why? Because I made a decision. And I stuck by it. That would help a whole lot of people if they'll go ahead and make a decision and say, I'm through with this, I'm through with alcohol, I'm through whatever. Never again in the name of Jesus. Didn't the Bible say that he would give us a helper called the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm here to tell you, he will help you. Glory be to God. Is that right, Johnny Frank? First time I met Johnny Frank, he was crying, and he got saved and got delivered from alcohol and a lot of other things he was doing. But he got set free. And I know many of you got the same testimony, but you got to make up your mind. You can't straddle the fence. Should I or shouldn't I? When you make up your mind, you give God something to work with. Oh, if I stopped right now and we went home, I preach good. Hallelujah. But I made up my mind. I'm done with this. What did I do? I sanctified myself. I separated myself from the club life. And I knew very little of the word. I just knew it was wrong. But now, turn, did I tell you John 17? Okay, John 17. Look at verse 17. Jesus is praying him here. He says, well, let's move back up to, well, let me see where I want to begin. I'll just back up to 14. Jesus is praying here. He says, I have given them your word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Say, he will keep me from the evil one. Say it again. If I want to be kept, if I make a decision to be kept. See, your will is a powerful thing. You hear me? Your will is a powerful thing. Your will can stop the move of God's hand. Or your will can cause God to move on your behalf. Glory to God. Verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But listen to what Jesus said. Sanctify them by your what? By your truth. Your what? Word is truth. As we are being sanctified and set apart for the service of God, we need to do it through the Word of God. Let me tell you something. When you read the Word of God or hear the Word of God, and if God says in His Word, don't do a certain thing, why do you want to go and do it anyway? Or if you hear the Word of God preached and the preacher is preaching to you the uncompromised Word of God and you can find it in your Bible what he or she is saying, then why would we want to go and violate that? We are sanctified through the Word of God. And that's a progressive thing because as we learn, we do. As we learn, we do. It's called maturing. New Christians, sometimes they stumble and they mess up. But you know, as you grow in the Lord, you should stumble less. That's right. That's right. I believe you can get to a place where you don't remember the last time you stumbled. Now, I know nobody's perfect. You know, we're still in an earth body. Amen? We're still in an earthen body. But we must take the Word of God serious. First thing you need, if you're tempted to do something, first thing you need to ask yourself, What does the Word say? What does the Bible say? And abide by what the Bible said. Everybody say sanctification.
Sanctification.
Look at somebody and say sanctification is a good word. Hallelujah. Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Now, how many of you know that the Word of God develops our character when we will listen to it and obey it? You know, it gives us a character change. In other words, we don't think the same way we used to, right? Well, if we are going to truly be sanctified or sanctify ourselves, then we're going to have to do what it says in Psalm 97. Look at verse 10. 97, verse 10. You who love the Lord, what? What?
Hate
evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Now, listen. Hear me real good here. We're not supposed to hate one another. We're not supposed to be bitter towards one another. But we have permission from God Himself to hate evil. If it's not right, you hate it. Don't hate the person. You don't hate the person that's doing the evil, but you hate the deed. You who love the Lord hate evil. Why? Because evil does not please God. Evil is not good for me or you. While we're over there, just flip to the right to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs 8. Look at verse 13. Matter of fact, put Proverbs 8:13 on the screen for me, please. Now, on three, I want you to read it. Just read it out loud. One, two, three.
The fear of the Lord
is the hate. Notice it didn't say anything about hating any individual. It's the deeds. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If we're going to truly serve Him, we got to hate evil. Now, I haven't gotten there yet. We've mentioned it in other messages. But see, we're living in a time now where you really got to know the Word of God. You got to be sharp. Because we're living in a time now where folks are calling things that are wicked, dirty, perverse, they're calling them good. And they're calling things that are wholesome, righteous, they're calling that evil. A lot of folks got messed up over Hollywood, and it's been going on years now. How many of y'all maybe my age remember the term shacking? Anybody know what shacking is? Amen. Well, shacking means that you're living with somebody, you're taking somebody in that's not your husband or your wife. But y'all doing things that husband and wives do. Mm-hmm. Is it okay if I tell it the way it is? And of course, you know, we see it on television, you know, folks shacking all the time. I remember in some of them old shows, you know, not just recent, you know, they didn't, in movies, they didn't bother to get married. They just moved in together, and then when they decided to get married, then they would get married if they wanted to. If not, it didn't matter. You know, some folks don't get married. They live together and as husband and wife, but, you know, they don't want to get married because they don't want to mess up that little check. If I marry this person, they're going to cut off my check. Well, then, if you want, you need to make a decision, your check or that person. If your check is more important to you, then you need to move out. Well, Pastor James, why are you on that subject? Why ain't you preaching about prosperity or something? You know, how I can get more money. I'm telling you how you can get more money or how you can be blessed by God. We just can't be selective about what we preach. We got to preach the whole thing, all of it. I've been around, you know, and I've been around a long time. You got folks in churches shouting and dancing and living like the devil. Can I get one teeny weeny amen? Can I get one teeny amen? But here's the thing. That's very dangerous. I'm not condemning anybody, but my Lord, one day you're going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have to decide which judgment you're going to be in. Are you going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, or are you going to be at the white throne judgment? If you're at white throne judgment, that's a uh-oh mama, because you just missed it. We don't have time to pretend. We don't have time to pretend to be a Christian or pretend to be churchy. You may sing on the choir. You may have a church robe, choir robe. But if you're not washed in the blood, if you're not saved, your robe ain't going to get you to heaven. Your singing voice is not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to make you right with God. Anybody appreciate the truth? Now, let me ask you a question. Am I condemning anybody? Absolutely not. Am I accusing anybody? Absolutely not. I'm just telling you the truth. Just telling you the truth. Sanctified people don't live that way. They might used to live that way, but when they get a hold of Jesus, they get Jesus in their life, say, whoa, this thing's got to change. Life is all about choices. It's all about choices. And you have to make choices. Some of them are tough choices, but you have to make choices. And hopefully you make the right one. Hopefully you choose Jesus over everything else. See, that's the reason he's called Lord. Do you know God is not supposed to be second to anyone or anything else. All right, we got a few husbands in here, including yours truly. Let me go ahead and put my hand up before I ask the question. How many of you husbands love your wives? Now, I should have told you that if you don't love your wife, you need to repent real quick before you raise your hand so you won't be lying. Now, raise your hand again. How many of you love your wife? Okay, what a blessing. Praise God. Now, wives, how many, those of you that are married now, how many of you love your husbands? Raise your hand. You love your husbands. All right. Praise God. All right, you can take your hand down. Now, you just testified that you love your wives and you love your husbands. But, and you already know this, but I'm going to tell you again anyhow. Jesus must always come before your spouse. As much, husbands, as much as you love her, as beautiful as she is, as godly as she is, Jesus still comes first. He comes first. He comes first. Because Jesus saved us, not our spouse. Our spouses wasn't in a position to save us because we needed saving too. So even in the Ten Commandments, God said, you shall not have any other gods before me. That means human or inhuman. But I found out this. Can I tell y'all something? I found this out. When I put Jesus first, I found out I had even greater love for my wife. Because now I'm loving her through Jesus Christ. And nobody knows how to love like Jesus. Glory to God. When you get saved, you even look better. Why you say that? Why you say that, Pastor? Well, before, where you had all the frowning and going on, now you're smiling. Because you got a reason to be happy. You got peace in your life. Jesus should always come first. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. Where does the time go when I start preaching? Y'all know. Please, somebody tell me. Turn, well, matter of fact, I'm going to let you go here in just a little bit. Turn to Psalm 34. 34th Psalm. If I can get you, if I can get you, those who are watching the live stream, if I can get you to fall head over heels in love with Jesus, then I've done my job. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's not about me. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Bless the name of the Lord. All right, let's go quickly here. I want to read Psalm 34, beginning at verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man, listen to this, who is the man or woman who desires life and love many days? Anybody say amen out here?
Amen.
That he may see good. That's what he said. Now, let me read 12 again, because I want you to get that in your spirit. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? All right, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart You see that? Sanctify yourself. Separate yourself. Depart from evil and do what? Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Glory. Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Oh, what a blessing to know, isn't it? I said, isn't it? The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Wow. I said, wow. Think about it. Those that die without Jesus Christ one day won't even be remembered. Wow. Verse 17, I got to move on. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Oh, hallelujah. Did y'all hear that? The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of what? Not some. He delivers them out of all their troubles. When we sanctify ourselves, when we depart from evil and we grab the word of God, in other words, we allow ourselves to be sanctified through the word of God, we can lay claim on the word of God. We can believe the word of God. Go ahead and read that one time. Get it in your spirit. On three. Three. Go ahead.
The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles.
Read it again.
The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their
troubles. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you receive it?
Yes.
Shout to the Lord, will you? See, God has given you and I, his people, great and precious promises. But we got to do his word. We got to hear the word. We got to be hearers of the word of God, and we got to be doers of the word of God. Let me say that again. We got to be hearers of the word of God, and we've got to be doers of the word of God. Hallelujah. And we have God's promise. That he hears us when we cry out. Even when it doesn't seem like he hears, he's still here. Even when you don't feel like he's anywhere close, he is right there with you. That's the reason we walk by faith, brothers and sisters. That's the reason we walk by faith. And I'm closing on this. That's the reason we walk by faith. When we've done all to stand, we stand. When we've done all that we know to do, we keep our faith out there because our feelings will lie to us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Other people will lie to you, sometimes not intentionally. They mean well, but they'll lie to you. They'll go crosswise what the word of God says. But that's the reason we got to keep our faith locked in to what God has said, and obey his word, hear his word, and do his word. God says, I come through for you. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. And I'm so glad, Father, this word is not returning void. Hallelujah. I thank you for your life-changing word. Father, I pray that we sanctify ourselves continually, continually, as we learn and as your word is made clear and revealed to us, that we will line up with what you said. Because your desire is to bless us. Hallelujah. To lead us.